Well, welcome everyone on this Monday edition of Family Talk. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We always appreciate it. There are many ways you could spend this time, and you chose to join us for this outreach to families during this most challenging summer season. I thank you for giving us an opportunity to share a classic presentation from my late friend, Professor Howard Hendricks. He's affectionately called Prof, even today, by the students who remember him at Dallas Theological Seminary, where he mentored many students who went on to become very influential, including Dr. Tony Evans, the first African-American student to earn a doctorate at DTS, Dr. Chuck Swindoll and Pastor David Jeremiah, and hundreds of others who were influenced by Professor Hendricks. He was also a noted author, a passionate speaker, and a good friend of mine. Well, the message that you're going to hear today is on the subject of communication in marriage, and Howard Hendricks was certainly qualified to discuss that topic, having been married to his wife Jeannie for 65 years before his passing in 2013. Let me tell you why we've brought this message to you. If you've listened to me for many years, and some of you have, I've been at this for over 40 years, I have never aired this message that you're about to hear today, because this man is a treasure trove of information on family relationships. And here's a good example of it today. So we're going to hear this recorded message by Professor Howard Hendricks of the Dallas Theological Seminary on this edition of Family Talk.
Now tonight, we want to discuss an option: communication or chaos. If you are talking more but enjoying it less, you may be on the verge of the greatest breakthrough in your marriage and family life. For nothing is as easy as talking. Nothing is as difficult as communication. And yet nowhere is communication more serious than in marriage and family relationships. Every day, hundreds of times a day, another judge's gavel drops to the desk, and those words are uttered, "Divorce granted." That which began with delight has ended with disillusionment. What they thought were stars in their eyes turned out to be sand. But unfortunately, whereas we have dramatized legal divorce, we have totally ignored an equally serious problem, and that's psychological divorce. People who under no circumstances would ever separate or divorce legally. They live in the same home, and it's a quiet misery. Before their marriage, they had no problem whatever discussing all kinds of subjects. In fact, you wonder how a young couple could find so much to talk about. And shortly after the marriage, they are suffering from lockjaw and are silent in 27 languages. Perhaps you heard of the couple who really did not communicate very much, occasionally a grunt pointing in the direction. They were giving each other the silence treatment, but finally they decided to take a drive out through the country. And as they were driving along, the man noticed a donkey just on the other side of the fence. And he got a brilliant, creative idea. So he broke the silence by saying, "One of your relatives?" She was equal to the occasion as she responded, "Right, on my husband's side." And back they plunged into their silence. A man by the name of Dr. Albert Moravian, after a decade of communicational research, attempted to unravel the tangled secrets of conversation, and he came up with the formula to express the accurate proportion between the content of communication and the way it is expressed. He said, first of all, that a couple tends to communicate about 7% through words alone. About 38% through the tone of voice, the inflection. See, it's possible to say the same expression, such as, I love you, but communicate a world of different meaning. I love you. I love you. Just by the inflection of your voice. But this is the significant one. Through facial expressions, through your postures, through your gestures, through what some writers are calling body language, you communicate approximately 55%. It's the man you see who walks through the door and by a glance communicates worlds of words. This is why you can walk in the front door and your wife says, how'd it go today, huh? Oh, all right. Well, what's the matter? Oh, nothing. Oh, come on, there's something. No, there's nothing bugging me. And the truth of the matter is, you're coming through loud and clear. She's picking up the vibe. You are communicating through non-verbal communication. And at the end of his study, he made this statement. It is not the ability to communicate that is lost when marriages grow apart. It is the desire to communicate that undergoes change. When one or the other no longer wants to be understood or to be understanding, then distance will develop. Now, for a few moments tonight, I would like to share with you some basic principles of communication in marriage and family life. I have not had a couple in my office. I have never counseled with a family in trouble that was not basically suffering from frozen communication lines. Principle number one, accent understanding, not talking. Accent understanding, not talking. You see, communication is a two-way street. It is much more listening than it is talking. It's not what this individual says, but what this individual understands as a result of what he said. What you discover happens in many a marriage is that these two individuals or in the family are talking more but communicating less. In fact, frequently I will get people in my office who are not only talking at each other, but we're literally shouting at each other. And as the moments go by, the decibel level rises until finally I'll jar the whole experience by saying, hey, man, did you hear what she said? No, what did you say? So I start a very interesting game. I dare you to try this if you want to blow your mind. I say, okay, man, I'll allow you to make one statement and one statement only. And before you can make a second statement, I want this individual to repeat back to you what you have said and what you mean by what you say so that you accept that statement and then
you may make one statement. And you can't make a second statement until this person feeds it back to you in terms of what you said, in terms of what you mean by what you say. Well, you know, at the end of 3 hours, we get three statements. Because, you see, they are now at the stage where they're talking and yelling, but they've long since tuned each other out. I ran across a prayer some years ago by Francis of Assisi, which made this statement, "Lord, grant that I may seek more to understand than to be understood." That's the heart of communication. Communication involves a meeting of meaning in which I not only communicate how I feel to another individual, but this individual so loves me and is so concerned about me that they listen in love and seek to feel with me in terms of what I'm trying to communicate. Now, I really wish my wife were here because she taught me everything I know in this area. I came from a Pennsylvania Dutch home. Now, I don't know if this says anything to you or not, but let me explain. I was reared by my grandmother. My basement floor was cleaner than 99% of the homes I get into. You could eat off our floor. I can never remember once going like this on anything and finding dust. My grandmother used to clean the front concrete sidewalk by hand 3 times every day. And we used to kid her, "Grandma, when you die, we're going to bury you with a mop and a broom." Well, then I got married. And my wife did not exactly come from this kind of a home, which is the understatement of this generation. And we had some fascinating times of adjustment. And I can remember when my children came along, it used to bug the living daylights out of me that my kids would walk through that door and go right by me. Mind you, great big spiritual giant that I am. They would go right by me and sometimes not even say hi and throw themselves into my wife's arms and share everything that went on. And you know, that is the way of getting to you. Until one day I sat down and said, "You know, if I were my kid, I wouldn't go to me either." And that began a process of instruction I wish every woman in this auditorium could become a master of. And that is, good relationships are far more important than a clean home. And some people will ruin a whole family and marriage before they ever get that picture. I can still remember one day my wife scrubbing the floor. It was immaculate. It was beautiful. I was complimenting her how tremendous. And all of a sudden, Bob, my older boy, came plowing through the door with his dirty feet and said, "Hey, Mom, look at the picture I drawn." And I just about came unglued. And she smothered him in her arms and said, "Bob, I'm so proud of you." And while I'm still stewing in my juice, my sweet wife turns to me and says, "Dear, we can always redo the floor, but we can't always rebuild the relationship." And the whole process of learning to communicate is a process of understanding and respecting another person. So much so that you want to hear and understand and feel with this individual. Let's try a second one on for size. And by the way, that first one will take you a little while to choke down. Develop common interest. Now let's see if we can illustrate this as well. See, you can tell the quality of your marriage by how much you have in common. And let's let this circle represent the man, and let's let this one represent the wife. And at this stage of the game, this is what you have basically in common. Now the question is, in which direction are these circles moving? Are they moving in this direction? If so, then you are dynamically growing in your communicational skills. If they are moving in this direction, then you are in a process of tearing your marriage and family apart. This does not mean that you ever get to the place where there isn't something that you as a man enjoy doing as a person and you as a wife enjoy doing, and we need to learn to preserve the integrity of the other person and allow them the luxury of this kind of involvement. That's a part of an expression of love. But what happens, and what you often see, is a scientific fact. And that is, you have two people who may begin with a minimal area of commonality, but who, because of a tremendous price tag and because of a tremendous desire, continue to move in this direction until finally the circles become virtually coterminous. And everything she likes, he likes. And what he enjoys, she enjoys. And the greatest desire of his heart is to experience that which he enjoys. And the same is true of her. And the interesting thing is, the conflict that people like this have is finally deciding which one will we do, what you want to do or what he wants to do, which is slightly different from what many people experience. Now, there's a price tag to this. For example, in the process of developing our marriage, I became, as you know, very deeply involved in ministry. And to this day, I have very little time for recreation. Every minute of recreation I have is a priceless minute. Now, I've got to make some decisions. And that is, how am I going to spend that time? I've got to have it just to maintain my sanity as a person. But how am I going to spend it? Well, I discovered early in my ministry, I would get up on Monday, the preacher's holiday, and my dear wife would make me the most fantastic breakfast, and she'd send me off to play my little game, and I'd play my game most of the day and come back in the afternoon, and she'd be waiting, beautifully dressed, at the door and say, "How did the game go, sweetheart?" And we'd embrace together, and I'd say, "Man, it was a great day." She said, "I'm so thrilled for you." And then I would go into my study to sit down and ask myself the question, what did she do? Well, she stayed home with four kids. That's a fascinating experience, especially when you're doing it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And you know, finally it dawned on me how utterly self-centered I was. And I dropped the sport. Would you believe I've dropped a half a dozen sports with no loss whatever. And I decided to change my whole lifestyle. And since my amount of time and recreation was limited, I was going to spend all of that time either with my wife or with my children. And to this day, my wife and I walk several miles every day. And it's a short period of time, but it's the most enriching part of our marriage. Because during that time, we share together. During that time, we pray together. During that time, we memorize the Word together. During that time, we get good recreation together. but it's time that is very limited and precious. And I'm sure I'm talking to many men and women who are professionally involved and who certainly are not looking for something to do. And you've got to ask yourself, how high on the priority list is the sharing of your life with that most important person? And that may determine some changes in your lifestyle in order to get these two together. One of my closest friends is a radiologist. And for a number of years, they had some terrific problems in their marriage, and it's beautiful to see what God has done as a result of coming to grips with some of these basic principles. And I used to say for years, I really think that woman thought that he spent the bulk of his day listening to radio. But she certainly didn't have a clue as to what was going on and certainly took no initiative. Now, she was very much interested in the Duncan Fife furniture and the rest of the junk they got under one mortgage that listening to radios produces. And the thrilling thing came when, for the first time in her life, she went down to the hospital to find out what went on in the day and blew her mind. She told me in her own words, I got a new appreciation as to why my husband would come home at night and literally fall into the chair and go out. And she said, I also got a new appreciation for the ministry that God had given to him in medicine. And for the first time, it took two people whose lives were literally going in this direction and brought them back. Now, you may have to pay a price tag for that. I can still remember, you know, taking my wife to a football game. You know, I'm a nut in this area, and especially since having some involvement with the Cowboys. You know, I get emotionally involved in this thing, so I decided to take her to the game. And she, all right, boy, another home run! No, honey. Touchdown! Hey, what inning is it? No, quarter. But in the meantime, I have developed some fantastic interests in dishes, fabric, other exciting things, nothing I'd enjoy more except leprosy. Because you see, this calls for some independent decision-making on your part as a mate to be willing to flow into the life of your husband or into the life of your wife and develop some common interest. Stop and think with me for a moment, my friends. Approximately 50% of your marriage will be spent without children. And I hope that you are not building your marriage around your children. That is the saddest core in all of the world around which to build your marriage. And that's exactly the reason why the highest incidence of divorce today is from the 40 to 45 to 55 age group. Because they are out of children and they're out of a relationship. They are strangers to each other. They have nothing in common. And one of the arts of building a marriage is developing a companionship with your mate. We just got rid of the last one last year. Man, we're really living. We're having a ball. But I've often thought, I'm sure glad that we took a lot of time to develop areas of commonality. Because we have a lot of time on our hands now. And as I rate the kids often, I say, hey, come home and make some noise. It's so quiet around here. Disgusting. But we are developing the most thrilling ministry that God has given to us just as a couple that we frankly had no idea God ever had in mind as a result of the areas of commonality that we have developed.
You've been listening to part one of a wise message from the late Howard Hendricks today here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and I encourage you to put into practice the wonderful advice Professor Hendricks just shared. Now, you can learn more about his life and legacy on today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow as we air the conclusion of this classic presentation. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.